Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. If it's the top of the hour, 3 Central Time, you're hearing the live broadcast, and we would love to hear from you. Give us a call at 844-322-2742. Both in Canada and the U.S., that's a toll-free call, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. This month is the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation. I guess really the 500th anniversary of that event where Martin Luther nailed the 95 Theses to the church of the door of the Castle Church in Wittenberg, Germany. And that was the spark that ignited the Protestant Reformation. And it's pretty interesting because Martin Luther had gone on a personal journey, and it's this personal journey that brought him to a point to defend what he had learned in his study of Scripture. And one of the things that came out of the Protestant Reformation was the answer to this question: what is your source of truth? What has the final authority in your life concerning your walk with Jesus Christ? Now, he grew up with this idea that the Word of God had a certain amount of authority in his life, and that the church had a certain amount of authority in his life, and that the Pope had authority in his life. And so he asked the question, what happens when either one of those contradict the other? What if the church, a church tradition, says something differently than what the Word of God says? So which one do we rely upon? And we had that question posed to us, or we asked that question of one of our callers not too long ago, and we said, okay, you believe that both have equal authority. What happens when the church contradicts the Word of God? And he said, well, we stand on the church, what the church has to say.
Yeah.
Well, you've just made void the Word of God, the power and the blessing of the grace that appears in this Word of God. So Luther came to the point and said, hey, it has to be Scripture alone. It has to be the Word of God alone. That's our standard for truth. That's the authority, the sole authority in our lives. Now, that was the kind of formal principle of the Reformation. And what happens when you go into the Word of God? You find the material principles of the Reformation, that salvation, and that's one of the questions. How is man saved? That's one of the questions that was raised during those early days of sparking that Protestant Reformation. And when you go to the Word of God, you see that you're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone. That's what you learn when you read the Bible. So that's why it's so vitally important for we as believers today to make a stand, to take a stand and say, it's the Bible or nothing. You know, if I hear the greatest teacher in the world and he doesn't line up with what the Scripture says, I'm going to discount and discard what he had to say. I don't care how good he was. I don't care how charismatic he was. I don't care how persuasive he was in presenting his arguments. If it doesn't line up with the Word of God, I'm going to discard what he has to say.
Yeah.
That's the stand that we need to make. Why? Because in the Bible and in the Bible alone, we learn about our Savior. We learn about Jesus. And that's our scripture for the day. It's John 5, 39 and 40. It says this, and Jesus is having a conversation with some of the religious leaders of the day. And he says, listen, guys, you study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. So they're going through the scrolls of the Old Testament. They're looking through the law. They're looking through the wisdom literature. They're looking through the prophets. And they're trying to find a formula which they can execute in their daily lives, and in so doing, to earn or to gain salvation. So they went into the Word of God with the idea, Lord, what do you want me to do in order to maintain or to obtain a righteous standing in your sight? So they were making the Word of God about them. And Jesus said, you study them because in them you think you have eternal life. Guess what? there are so many people out there today who are opening the Word of God, but they're doing so to find out what they're supposed to be doing in life. How can I make my life a little bit better? What are the 10 things that I can be doing today to improve my standing before God, to improve my standing before others? They're going into the Word of God, trying to find the things that they're supposed to be doing. Well, here's what Jesus said. These are the very scriptures that testify about me. So the Word of God, and if we will learn this truth, the Word of God will take shape. We will start to understand it. The Word of God is the story of Jesus. It is God's testimony concerning his Son. So we read the Word of God to get to know him, to find out more about Jesus, to find out more of what he accomplished in his death, burial, and resurrection. When we understand that the Word of God is about Jesus, the Word of God fits together. All the puzzle pieces suddenly get in lockstep with one another. It just comes together in this glorious, singular story that is powerful, that transforms. So Jesus said it. These are the very scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life. Where is life? It is found in Jesus. Where is forgiveness? It is found in Jesus. Where is identity? It is found in Jesus. Where is hope? It is found in Jesus. Where are we going to find out about Jesus? In the scriptures alone.
Yeah.
That's what Martin Luther discovered when he made his study, that the Word of God alone is sufficient to answer all of the problems of the human heart. Why? Because the Word of God alone points us to Jesus.
Yes.
That's good news.
That is great news. And it is Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper. I'm Bob Davis. And we were talking yesterday about the new offer that we're making to our listeners, Bob and Richard, who make a gift to the ministry during the month of October. And Bob, we produced this new little brochure called the Reformation Project. And tell our listeners about it.
Well, this is a free resource that we want to put in your hands. You can go to our website and just click the link on the front page and request your free copy. Out of the Reformation, there came five important premises that we need to really embrace as believers in Christ. They're sometimes called the solas in Latin. But if you speak English like we do, it's scripture alone, it's grace alone, it's faith alone, it's Jesus alone, to the glory of God alone. So we put this brochure together, and we've taken those five headings, and we've found verses in the Bible that will show why it's important to stand on the fact that it's scripture alone as your authority for faith and practice as a believer. We found scriptures that will tell you that it truly is grace alone. There are no works that you can add to the plan of salvation. We found scriptures that will show you why it's faith alone as the new way of life for believers in Christ. We found all kinds of passages on Christ alone. Since the whole Bible is the story of Christ, we could have just picked a million almost. Yeah. And then to the glory of God alone. What does it mean to do all for the glory of God? And so passages like that. And these are passages that will speak directly to your heart. These aren't just, neat sayings to memorize or platitudes to think about. This is truth that penetrates to the deepest parts of who you are and will bring rest to a troubled soul, will bring peace to an anxious mind, will bring hope to somebody that is hopeless, will bring victory to somebody that feels defeated. These are the scriptures that will speak to your heart. We want you to have this. It's free. Just go to our website, basicgospel.net, request your copy. I think it really looks nice.
It does.
You will want this, and You can even make copies of it and pass around to your friends.
That's a good idea. Well, Bob, thanks for that explanation. Also, in conjunction with that, we have the new DVD series called The Reformation Project, and it is yours with your gift to Basic Gospel this month. As Bob said, you can go to basicgospel.net, but in this case, click donate, or you can call 844-322-2742 and make your gift to Basic Gospel, and we'll get a copy of The Reformation Project on the way to you. Again, 844-322-2742, or donate online at basicgospel.net. Well, guys, had a question from Stephen. And it's a very, very, very succinct question. Jehovah's Witnesses say God will keep sinners burning in hell forever and ever. What do you recommend for me to answer them? What is your best answer for that?
Well, the best answer is the gospel of Jesus Christ. We come into this world spiritually dead. We have a problem. We're bound by the law of sin and death. As Paul said, we're dead in transgressions and sins. That's Ephesians chapter 2. And so there's only one way out of that. There's only one way to go from death to life, and that's through faith in Jesus. So it's important to share the gospel. Martin Luther said this, we need to hear the gospel every day. Why? Because we forget the gospel every day. Yeah. We hear it, it'll go in the mind, and then we just don't think about it. Mm-hmm. And we get so overwhelmed by the problems that we forget the truth that Jesus is Lord, that he has taken away our sins, that he is alive, and that he's come to live inside of us. So I think we just need to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, you're going to have a problem as far as the Jehovah's Witnesses are concerned. They don't believe that Jesus is God.
Right.
They believe that it's just Jehovah, the God of the Old Testament, and that Jesus is a little God. And they've even rewritten the New Testament to align itself with their doctrines, their heretical doctrines. So you need to start with Jesus as far as a Jehovah's Witness is concerned, and then from there talk about his death, burial, and resurrection.
Yeah.
And let the power of the Word do its work in their lives. More than likely, and this is what's happened with me as far as conversations have gone, they're there to convert me, and I'm there to give them truth, and hopefully they will respond in faith and be born again. Mm-hmm. And so the more I talk, it seems like the deeper their spurs get dug into the ground.
Yeah.
In their position. So, don't expect your lofty words to bring about change. So just deliver the Word of God and let the Word of God do its work.
Thank you, Stephen, for your question. And Bob and Richard, for any of our listeners who would like to pose a question, you can do that either of several ways, as a matter of fact. First, you can call and record your question at 844-322-2742. You can email it to Bob at basicgospel.net, or you can do what Corey did and send it through the Basic Gospel app. So we hope that you will pose your questions to us at Basic Gospel.
Yes, indeed. Well, Tammy just posted on our Facebook page. She's watching us on our Facebook Live feed. And she said, God bless you for standing up for the Word of God. Any church that sticks to a tradition that isn't in the Bible isn't the house of our Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, or the Holy Spirit. And there's lots of human traditions that have seeped into the Protestant church. Martin Luther was standing up to the traditions that were a part of the Catholic Church of his day.
Yeah.
And so he was protesting against those, and he's saying, hey, we need to get back to the Word of God. We need to take our stand on the Word of God. Well, 500 years have come and gone, and today there's just as many human traditions that are weighing heavy on the church as there were back in his day.
Yeah.
We've all probably experienced them. Richard, you've experienced some of those traditions growing up. I've experienced some of those traditions growing up. And it wasn't until I got into the Word of God to see plainly and clearly what this gospel was all about that things started to make sense and I could let go. For example, I was taught that every time I sinned, I needed to ask God to forgive me and repent of that. Well, that was a formula. And I was very good at working through that formula. And then I even added to it. So I prayed to receive Christ when I was 12 years old or 13 years old at a church camp. I was saved. Christ came to live inside of me.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know what that meant exactly. I didn't know the permanence of that, the eternal nature of that event. So every time I sinned, please forgive me. I repent of it. I promise I'll do more. And please come back into my life. So I felt like God had left me. Mm-hmm. Now, that was part of the things that I was being taught, part of the things my own mind was coming up with, human tradition. Well, is any of that in the Word of God? Absolutely not. What do you find in the Word of God? That once you're saved, Christ comes to live inside of you, and he has promised that he will never leave you nor forsake you, that he has an indestructible life. Your life in Christ is actually his life, and as you abide in him, he will manifest his life in and through you. When you read in the Word of God, you also read that he has taken away all of your sins, and that when you receive Christ, you receive total forgiveness of sins. You stand before him as a forgiven person. Those are the things in the Word of God. What I was giving heed to was not in the Word of God.
No.
It was a human tradition. Well, I was getting bogged down by that. I was getting enslaved to that. And to the point I couldn't rid myself of the guilt and shame and fear. Those became some of my best friends. I didn't want them as friends. They just kept hanging around. But it finally, when I went into the Word of God and saw the truth out of the book of Colossians for me, for Martin Luther, it was in Romans chapter 1. Colossians chapter 2 for me is where everything became clear. That Christ made me fully alive. He forgave all my sins. And at that point, I said, I'm sticking with the Word of God, because the Word of God has answered the cry of my heart. Mm-hmm. Same thing with you, right, Richard?
Yeah. It was until I actually started reading the Bible for the sake of the Bible. God, what do you want me to know from this? I could not see this stuff. It just drove me nuts. And I think it's one of the great ironies coming out of the Reformation, where people literally died so that the rest of us could have the scriptures to read for ourselves. Most of the Reformation leaders ended up starting churches, and their churches paid attention to what the Reformation leader said instead of what the Bible said. And we still do that today.
Yes.
Here we have, you know, the Word of God that can change our lives. It's the only thing that can change our lives. And dare I say it, people listen to you and me and think we've got the truth. I mean, anything we say that's true is only true because it comes out of the Bible.
Yes.
We have no special connection that somebody else can't have. And we do that with pastors and teachers and, you know, famous people all the time. And that's not what those martyrs died for.
Right.
They died so that we could look at the Word of God and say, God, if you don't teach me, I won't get it.
They wanted to get the Word of God to every person so that every person could read it for themselves.
Yeah.
Not to have somebody interpret it, but they could get in it and actually see what the words are on the page and allow those words to do their work in their heart. So I think it's very important for us to take that stand on the Word of God.
Absolutely.
And, you know, one of the things that we've said since the very beginning of our ministry, don't believe anything because we say it. If something sounds good and right and true to you, go into the Word of God and let the Holy Spirit teach you the truth of that. We can teach you something, and you may believe it because we've said it, and then you may go to another church and they can teach you something different, but they're a little more persuasive or a little more charismatic. So you're thinking, well, maybe this guy has the truth and those folks over there don't. Well, now you're confused. Now you've just subjected yourselves to all kinds of confusion and misery in trying to figure it out. If you hear something, take it to the Word of God. Take every thought captive to Christ Jesus. Let the Word of God be your standard of truth.
Yeah. Guys, a question from Dave. He says, I know that God doesn't cause evil things like the Las Vegas mass shootings or disasters like the recent hurricane damage, but I wonder if he does use these things as a way to bring people together. Does he use bad things for good?
Well, bad things are in this world. We just have to recognize that. And they've been in this world since Satan fell from heaven, and he made his way into the Garden of Eden and lured Adam and Eve away from the tree of life and their relationship with God over to this tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Mm-hmm. And ever since then, evil has been in this world. There are times in human history where it's covered over. We don't see it as much. We don't recognize it really for what it is. And then there are times when the curtain is lifted and we just see it in all of its grossness and evilness and darkness and that sort of thing. And I think when a guy stands up in a hotel and has all kinds of weapons and is firing as fast as he can, that is just evil. I mean, just pure evil. Now, is God the author of that? Absolutely not. Evil is just a perversion of good. And that's what we're seeing in some of these things. Now, is God bigger than all that? And that's the real issue. And the answer to that is yes, he is. Mm-hmm. You know, we read the wonderful story of Joseph and his brothers. They sold him into slavery. They actually wanted to kill him. Evil bubbled up inside of them because they were jealous and envious of Joseph and his relationship to Jacob. And so they sold him into slavery. Now, when Joseph confronted them later and saw them after they came down to Egypt, he said, you may have meant that for evil, but God worked it together for good. Why? Because he used that to bring all of Joseph's brothers down to Egypt so they could live and endure through a famine that was happening up in Israel. And so God is bigger than the evil that happens in this world. And that's what we have to come to grips with, that the evil that we see does not thwart the plan of God for individuals and for this planet on which we live.
Yeah.
God is bigger than that, and he will take all things and work them together for good.
Yeah. Barry posed a question, interesting. He says, what is shipwrecked faith? The pastor I know compared it to Paul in Acts when he was on the ship and it was torn to pieces, and the man on the ship had to hold on to the pieces, or the men did, hold on to pieces to survive the storm and make it to shore. Have you heard this term before, shipwrecked faith?
I have heard that term, shipwrecked faith. I think Paul uses that for some of those folks that were against him, that were troubling him, who had given lip service to the good news, but then fallen away, so to speak.
Yeah.
You know, if you really have had faith in Jesus, you've really been born again. Christ has come to live inside of you. He is the author and perfecter of faith. He's the one that will mature faith in us. And our faith is dependent upon Jesus. We have to have an object for our faith. So if he's alive living in us, he will move us to get our eyes off of circumstances and back onto him. And once we get them back onto him, then faith is going to continue to move in the direction that he wants it to move. Yeah. So Christ is the key, isn't he?
Absolutely. Indeed. Well, we appreciate from hearing from each of you, our listeners, and you know, with the recent event in Las Vegas, and literally on a day-by-day basis in individual lives, we have determined that silence is not an option. People need your help to hear, to believe and live the good news of Jesus Christ. And at Basic Gospel, we want to keep telling the story as often as we can to as many people as we can. As our thanks for your gift in the month of October at Basic Gospel, we want to send you our new series called The Reformation Project, 5 Truths That Ignited the Protestant Reformation, Truths That Also Ignite Reformation in the Human Heart. Click donate at basicgospel.net or phone your gift to 844-322-2742. Well, that's it for today, everybody. Now for Bob and Richard and the ministry team, Bob Davis saying God bless you. We'll be back tomorrow. I hope you'll join us. Bye-bye.